Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
I'm so excited this week because Lisa Lyman is joining us up here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
I have a new hairstyle, too.
Yes. She's looking fine up here. As we discussed, you know, we've been in this series on the pillars of Dwell. What are the pillars that make up the culture of Dwell Church? And so we're on the third pillar this week, which is prayer. And Lisa oversees our prayer team, and she is, my goodness, such a powerful intercessor. And we are so grateful that the Lord brought Stephen and Lisa Lyman to Dwell Church. So we're excited to dive in to prayer today. How many of you have, I think we ran out of bookmarks, but we've had these bookmarks. We're going to reorder them so that we have them as we move forward again. But the five pillars of Dwell Church: presence, principle, prayer, people, and power. We gave them all, you know, the power of alliteration. So they all start with the letter P's and make it a little easier for you to remember. But prayer, we're going to talk about today. We're going to start out talking about what is prayer and why is it a pillar at Dwell Church?
I want to just say at the top that I've always been around praying people. I grew up listening to the roar of prayer coming from mom and dad, even before church, just being at home, hearing first thing in the morning, mom and dad shaking the house with prayer. There have been several examples. How do you learn to pray? Listen to people pray, and it will ignite a hunger in you. I remember a story of this, I forget the preacher, an evangelist, we were somewhere when I was a kid, mm-hmm. And he was talking about, he was at an arena where Catherine Kuhlman was going to speak, and he was a friend of the ministry, so he went to the green room. The usher sent him to the green room to where she was. She wanted to see him. When he opened the door and walked in, he walked into such a cloud of God's presence, and Catherine was facing the wall with her hands up on the wall, and he listened to her. He realized he was interrupting a private moment, and she was standing with her hands on the wall saying, "God, trust me with your anointing again." Wow. And he said, "I couldn't even stay. I had to head just back out of the room." I've always loved that story.
Yeah.
I remember another time as a teenager, I went to Boise, Idaho, and there was an evangelist, his name is Floyd Lahan, was staying in the basement of this parsonage. That's what they called them, church parsonage. That's when a church owns a house and the pastor lives in the house that the church owns. They called it a parsonage. He's down in the basement, and it was in a room, and I could hear this great man of God groaning in prayer. And there was such an awareness of God's presence upstairs in that living room. And I was just moved to tears listening to this man pray. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been intrigued and wanted, and of course I would study and read the word and know that Jesus, when he was coming into the temple, and we know the story, he came, he enters the city. They're singing Hosanna in the highest as he rides in, and he gets to the temple, and he immediately starts overturning the tables and said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." Yeah. What he's doing is quoting the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah said, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." And we have that scripture that we'll read it fully. So Jesus is reading from the prophet, or he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah, and said, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." But it is the heart of God that where we meet it must be a house of prayer. It's not a social club.
Right.
It's not a place we just gather and sing our list of songs and hear a little sermonette for Christianettes. But it is, his house is to be a house of prayer. So
yeah.
I'm just going to say that.
So good. So our culture at Dwell matches what Jesus said church, the temple should be. Lisa, will you speak to what is prayer? You know, from the foundation of Dwell Church, we said this is going to be a house of prayer from the very beginning. And this is going, everything we do is going to be immersed in prayer. So will you speak to what is prayer?
So prayer is a relationship through communion with God. It's often said that prayer is talking to God. And that's a very simplified definition or explanation what prayer is. Prayer is more than just talking to God. God requires relationship.
Yeah.
It's been said that the first prayer was Adam and Eve in the garden. They were talking to God. They were communing with God. And then they were separated from God because of their decision in the garden. And so God wanted relationship with us. That was why we were created. And so he lost relationship with us because of our choices.
Yeah.
And so he lost that connectedness with us. Then he sent us Jesus, his son. Again, a very relational act.
Yeah.
And when Jesus walked into the temple, as was referenced there, he said, my house should be called a house of prayer. Well, how do we communicate with God after we lost relationship and Jesus did his work? Through prayer.
Yeah.
That is how God communicates with us. That is how our communion functions. Through prayer. And so if you want to be in relationship with God, to have communion, and when I say communion, I mean connection, intimacy,
right.
Knowing him, hearing from him, giving to him, having him pleased with you, you do it through prayer.
Yeah. So good. I love the scripture. Can you put 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 3? I'm going to read the NIV version first. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then the Message translation says, I love this, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. So prayer is the most important activity of our lives. It's the main way in which we develop a relationship with our Father in heaven.
And I would just add that Jesus was our greatest example of prayer. The Gospels are full of the examples of when Jesus prayed. There is 25 examples of Jesus praying.
Yeah.
And he prayed. Jesus was with the Father, and then he came to earth fully human.
Yeah.
And he prayed.
Yeah.
So the one who sat at the throne,
yeah,
the one who was completely intimate with the Father, when he became a whole man, human, he prayed.
Yeah, yeah.
So what does that mean for us? That Jesus knew everything about the Father, and yet when he walked like a man, and he talked like a man, and he lived like a man, he had to steal away. He had to go to a quiet place. He had to pray before raised Lazarus from the dead. He had to pray before he fed the thousands. There are example after example of Jesus praying. I believe that if it's in the Word of God and it's our guidance, we should be doing the same thing.
Yes.
If I can just add to one of the things you said in the beginning of what you were talking about is prayer is not just making petition. It is not just a one-sided conversation.
Right, right.
But you mentioned hearing him. I don't think some of us, sometimes we pray and we come and we have to go through our list. We think we're going to pray for an hour and we run out of things to say in about 15 minutes. We don't know what to do because we haven't learned how to hear.
Yeah.
Jesus did say, I don't do anything except what I hear the Father say.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe Jesus was talking about what he heard the Father say when he was still with him before he became
right.
The Son of God, before the Word made flesh. I believe he demonstrated to us the example that we don't do anything except for what we hear the Father say.
Yes. Oh, and I love this because you and I, Lisa, have talked about how God will give us strategy of how to pray. And so that's what Jesus did. He got instruction from his Father. He got strategy from his Father. That's so powerful. Okay, so our culture at Dwell matches what Jesus said his church should be. And then our role as leaders is to teach you how to pray. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4 says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples.'" So then that's where we have the famous Lord's Prayer. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." So our role as leaders is to teach you how to pray as well, right?
Yeah, I love that verse for myself personally. We were talking about this. It's mentioned, the Lord's Prayer is mentioned twice in Matthew, and then again in Luke. And in both times it's mentioned, it's talking about prayer. So the time that it's mentioned in Matthew, it's talking about going to your prayer closet. Don't do this publicly. Don't pray to be seen. Don't use these extravagant words, but to go into your prayer closet and pray. And when they are in Luke, he's also instructing on prayer, but the instructions are interpreted or given a little differently. And the thing that struck me about that I received as strategy, is that the disciples asked Jesus. It says one day after Jesus was praying, and afterwards the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray."
Yeah.
And so Jesus said, "When you pray, say." Mm-hmm. Right? He taught them how to pray.
Yeah.
And so their strategy.
Yeah.
But the strategy is not the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. The strategy is, when you pray, say, "Lord, teach us how to pray for the need of my mother. Lord, teach us how to pray for the need of my house. Lord, teach me how to pray for whatever that issue is."
Yeah, yeah.
And because you are in relationship with him, he will teach you how to pray for that issue, just like he taught them there. If you're in communion with him, he will teach you how to pray for specific issues. Can I give you an example of that?
Yes.
There was this time where we were praying together, a group of us, at the end of a meeting, and I was actually the young person, and we were praying and we were asking the Lord to guide us. It was a ministry and we needed finances. And there was a couple of times, and I shared with Pastor Nicole some of the times that God met us there. But one time we were praying with, how do we pay for a camp for kids? And so we met together as a group and we prayed. And as we finished praying for that camp, somebody walked in the door and gave us the money to send everybody to camp. And that's an answer to prayer.
It's like when they were praying for Peter to be released from prison. We didn't put the scripture on here. But they were praying in the house, and here he comes knocking on the door. The answer, he had been, delivered. And so they come to the door and that can't be Peter.
The girl doesn't even open the door. She runs and said, "Peter's outside." And they're like, "You've lost your mind." It was like, and
they're
then,
in there praying for, but the answer was right there at the door as they were praying. Wow, that is so powerful. Okay, so let's talk about real quick before we move on about the prayer team at Dwell. You know, from the inception of Dwell Church, we said there was going to be a prayer team. And so, Lisa, will you talk about I'll read the scripture first. Okay, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So we believe in prayer. Would you talk about what the prayer team does around here?
Well, how about this? I know Facebook can't see you all, but if you're a part of the Dwell prayer team, stand up real quick for us. Woo! Look at all those mighty warriors that pray. Yeah. Well, I have to say that...
And there are more.
I'm going to brag on us a little bit and say we're the largest group serving you all at Dwell. So, and isn't that the way it should be, really?
Yes. It really should be.
That's right. My hope for us is that the prayer team comes in this room and we pray at 8:30 every day. My prayer and what I believe is going to happen in whatever service we're in, listen to me now, prayer team, is that we're going to come in and we're going to start praying, and it's going to just slip on over to service, and
yes,
everybody's going to be praying.
Yeah,
that's what I believe is going to happen.
Yeah.
In this service. So let me tell you about the prayer team. Again, the prayer team comes in here and prays. And this was the heart of the pastors. They wanted people to come in and intercede and be intercessors. And that's a whole nother teaching if you don't know what it means. But essentially, we're praying for others as intercessors. And so they wanted us to come in here and pray for everybody headed this way on Sunday morning, to come in here and cry out to God on your behalf, to ask God to help you get here, and ask God to give you peace, and ask God to meet you here, and ask God to do something. When you sit down in the seat, you sense the presence of God, and you're impacted, and you're affected, and you're changed for the good. You experience God in an awesome way, and because God hears prayer, we do that every Sunday, and we're committed to the vision of the pastors and the principal of the house to pray.
Yeah.
Well, and I want you to understand this. This may have never occurred to you, but every Sunday morning when we're here setting up this equipment and doing sound check, make sure we're ready to go, our intercessors, our prayer team, is walking, touching every chair, praying over the chair you're sitting in right now. You were prayed over before you even came in the room. Mm-hmm. We didn't know you were going to sit there, but God knew you were going to sit there. And we prepared the atmosphere so that when you sit down, you're sitting on prayers.
Come on. Oh, that's good.
You're behind is sitting.
You're behind.
Is sitting on the prayers of the prayer team.
Woo.
And
you are
marked.
Yeah.
You have been targeted.
Yeah.
And so I just want you to, maybe that will cause you to realize it's more than just gathering, but people are thinking about us before we even get here. God is thinking about you even before you get here. And I just want you to know we bathe the room. We saturate this place in prayer because it is the most essential thing we must do as a people.
Yeah.
And also, I can just encourage you that when there's a prayer need and you've made it known to Pastor John or someone else, we get right to praying for you. So if there's a crisis in your life and you wanted prayer, then not just Pastor John or whoever you're reaching out to, but at least 18 other people or 20 other people at minimum are crying out to God on your behalf and praying, and that's where we're interceding at. We get in the middle of that and we say, God, there's a need right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody's crying out to you. Their mother's sick or their father's sick, and we ask God for peace for you. We ask God for strength for you. We ask God for favor for you. We ask God to touch you. We ask you to be with him. We ask you to have a greater sense of who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like every Sunday from day one, when you fill out a prayer request, people on a weekly basis, people are turning in prayer requests. And so what happens is those prayer requests then, before the day's done, go into an email that come to the staff and come to the prayer team, and we start praying for you.
Yes. Yeah.
You're in front of our eyes,
yeah,
in our hearts.
So I want to then just go right into, we're going to talk about corporate prayer, and I want to, this scripture ties in, I mean, perfectly with what we're talking about here. Matthew 18, verses 19 through 20. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. You know, a lot of times here at Dwell, we, after worship, we'll break into prayer groups, two or three people. You know, Wednesday night we have worship and prayer, and we often get into prayer groups around here of two or three people. And I know sometimes for some of you that may feel awkward, like, oh, I gotta like tell this person what I'm, but there is power in agreement when we come together. That is why we do it, because there's power when two or three agree together. I love that.
If we can just talk about the history of prayer, when we talk about the beginning of the church and we look at Acts, Acts 1 and Acts 2 talk about the apostles and the women and the family of Jesus. They prayed constantly. They devoted themselves to prayer.
Yes.
The very foundation of how the church, the Christian church that we know, was founded on people coming together and praying. And we know that when they prayed, the Holy Spirit came. And there were some powerful and amazing things that happened in the birth of the new church. And so every religion, every organization that has a God has a practice of prayer.
Yeah.
And so I believe that prayer is something that is just a part of how we were created. Yeah. I've heard people say, like, there's a hole in your heart if you don't pray, or you're missing something. But everybody who believes in something prays to that something.
Yeah.
The benefit and the advantage that we have is that we know who Jesus is,
yeah,
and we pray to God. And I think about the Old Testament. Every time the people got in trouble with God, it was because they set up idols.
Yeah.
And they set up false worship. Yeah. And they set up detestable things to God. But when they rid the place of the idols,
yep,
and prayed,
yep,
then God returned to them and restored to them.
Yes.
And they were restored to him.
2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called,
yeah,
by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Yeah.
And that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because we were just talking about this. This right here actually is God talking, right?
Yeah.
This is God's response. And so,
to Solomon's prayer.
Right. So,
yeah,
Solomon prayed. Actually, the people gathered, right?
Yeah.
And after the temple was built, Solomon built the temple that was destined by God. And then they prayed after all the work was done.
Yeah.
And then God started talking to Solomon, and this is what he told him. And so here is proof that God will talk back to you.
Yeah.
And God will give you specifics that if you do this, this, and this, then. And so here we go, if my people will. And
yeah,
so God will talk back to you. We have proof of that right here,
yeah,
when you pray.
That. And just one more thing about praying for one another. You know, we want all of you here to be comfortable praying for one another. You know, we were just with Bishop Garlington on Friday in El Paso, and he was talking about, you know, when people will come to him and say, will you remember me in your prayers? That he said, I can't promise you that I'm going to remember, you know. He said, let's pray right now. So when someone comes to you, I just want to encourage you. You know, we were praying with someone yesterday. It was in our home, a member of this church, and they were believing for something. And so we said, we're going to pray right now. You know, we want you to be comfortable doing that, because we should be able to call on him. Hey, the Islam religion, Muslims, they drop to prayer how many times a day? I don't even know, but right? So how much more should we be comfortable calling on the name of the Lord anytime, any place, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's encourage one another to do that, to not,
yeah,
say, oh, I'll be praying for you.
Yeah.
But let's pray right now.
Yeah.
Let's just do that, right? You know, it takes you don't have to pray long, eloquent prayers.
Right.
You just present the need,
yep,
and you take it to the Lord. It's in all your ways, acknowledge him. When someone comes to you with a specific need, let's just pray about that right now. Yeah. And make that a practice. That then it becomes, when we call for two or three people to get together, I know that can be awkward, right? And you don't even like, Nicole and I, when I told you to find something you're thankful for, turn to the person, Nicole and I turned to each other and we're like, I'm thankful that Carson's out of school this week. So sometimes it's like.
Well, I think we feel intimidated because like David was just referencing when we opened up here about incredible men and women of God that we've heard pray and we're just, oh man, the house shook in prayer. And it's like, I can't pray like that. It doesn't have to be some big loud demonstration. It just has to be authentic from the heart, mm-hmm. sincere, call on the Lord. And it can be simple, but there's power in it. There's power in it. So let's move on and let's talk about what are some things that may hinder our prayers. Are y'all good to move on and talk about that?
Well, because this won't be as fun.
Yeah.
James 4:3 said, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures.
Yeah.
I read an article from Mike Bickle the other day, House of Prayer, Mike Bickle in Kansas City. And he said something that I thought was so profound, and I'm going to read it to y'all. Yeah. He said, the promise of answered prayer is not given to everyone on the earth. He said, the promise of answered prayer is only given to those in relationship with God.
Wow, that's so good.
We need to have a relationship with God. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be in communion to expect, to require, and even try to demand an answer to our prayer. Because God is a God of relationship.
Yeah.
And an answer to prayer is a response to relationship.
So good.
And so if you are not in relationship with God, there is no requirement to answer your prayer. That alone is a reason to get in relationship with God, right?
Yes, yeah. So good.
I mean, that is not to suggest that if you are born again, you can't pray or you don't have there are degrees. It's like here's the deal. Some of us get saved, we live for God, and we depend on what the pastor says at church on Sunday. That's the only time we ever dig or hear anything because we don't pray by ourselves. We don't read the Bible by ourselves. We do this. Maybe we may pray over our meals, and that's the only time you talk to God. That what we're talking about is when you have a relationship, like I had to go to Nashville a couple of weeks ago, but every day I was gone multiple times that day. I wouldn't just call on the phone, but Nicole and I would FaceTime each other throughout the day and have several conversations, even though we were apart from one another, because relationship means communication
and
connection. And so it's and some of us would go for days and days and days and never even acknowledge him. You just get up and get caught up in your circumstance of life and responsibility and so the urge, the challenge is, talk to him when you're driving in the car, when you're sitting in traffic, talk to him.
Yeah. Well, and so the one thing that was instilled in me growing up, and this ties to asking with wrong motives, as James 4:3 said, you ask amiss. It was instilled in me. My mother said, always pray for the will of God. Always pray for the will of God to be done in your life. That's what Jesus prayed. You know, we heard Bob Sorge recently talk about when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he remained loyal to what his Father had asked of him. Jesus knew the deal. He knew he was going to have to lay down his life, but he comes to the Father and says, if you figured out another way, if you can take this cup from me, please take it. But if not, your will be done, not my will, but your will be done. And so that is asking rightly. That is asking according to his will, that his will would be accomplished for his glory in our lives. Another thing that can hinder our prayer is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Mark chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. Jesus is talking here. Says, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So unforgiveness is a big thing that stops up the connection between us and God. Yeah.
You know, I'm a therapist by profession, counselor, and one of the things that I've learned for people who've had the most horrible injustices done to them, who've had the most violent crimes impacting their lives, those are the people who tend to forgive the most. Wow. And I've often heard them say is, we don't forgive because of the person, but we forgive for ourselves. Yeah. And I took that one step further or in my thoughts. We forgive for ourselves as believers because that's what God requires us to do, right? That I don't care how horrible, how wrong, how terrible the injustice, you've got to forgive it or you get stuck.
Yeah.
Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you get stuck.
Yes.
So forgiveness is something that we have to embrace. I think that in the Lord's Prayer, it even says that, right?
Forgive us.
Says forgive.
Yep.
Well, in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, it's not in our scripture, there's a reference to people crying out to God, but it's like the heavens are brass.
Yeah.
And so unforgiveness will cause the heavens to be brass over you that you can't penetrate. It's like you can't get through. God is saying, I don't want to hear what you have to say as long as you carry that around in your heart.
Yeah. Another thing that can hinder our prayer is sin. So we must repent. Acts chapter 3 verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I was reading last night, how many of you did the beginning of 2019, we did the prayer reset book. How many of you went through that with us? Establishing a habit of prayer 20 minutes a day for 20 days. This is a 20-day book. But on day 7, Bob Sorge in his book here talks about repentance. And he says, repentance is an earthquake on the inside. So we think that we just repent one time, right? We come to the Lord, we repent. No. It's a regular and ongoing discipline for every disciple of Christ. Its basic idea is change. It says both no and yes. Repentance says no to the sinful behaviors he's showing us and yes to the new actions and attitudes he's inviting us into. So repentance is an ongoing, you know, the more time you spend with the Lord, he reveals more. Oh, okay, you're asking for that. Oh, I see that. Oh, I see that. Man, I was really, I have an offense toward that person, or I was really rude to my husband, or whatever it is, pride. That's another thing we're going to talk about here. But repentance is an ongoing process in the life of every disciple. Pride is another thing that hinders our prayer, and it is a sin, but I wanted to read this scripture in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. I love this. Says, but he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.
God opposes the proud. That's strong language.
Yeah.
But I just underline, God opposes the proud.
Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, you never age out of serving. We were in a situation recently. We were serving at a church. We had gone to minister there, and we found ourselves in a situation where we really
could
were
have
not
just stayed home.
Yeah, we were like, wow, this is incredible, but you know, our gift really wasn't utilized to its capacity, okay? And we came at the end of that trip, I was just praying. I was just spending some time with the Lord in our hotel, and I was like, you know what? The Lord resists the proud. I am not too proud to say I will come and serve this vision of this house. I don't care if my gifts are used or not. The gifts that I like, that I want to use, that I feel like are my strongest, I will come and serve. And so we never age out of serving. So there's so much power in humility and humbling ourselves and just showing up and going.
King James says that like this: humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will exalt you. And so we have to realize that we can't manipulate God and pretend to be humble because we really want to be exalted. Because pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And so God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Yes. You know, pride is a sneaky little creature.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Right? Like, oh, I didn't know that was in me.
Right. And you know, a lot of times when we define pride, we think of boastful and outwardliness and arrogance. But that's not the pride that trips us up,
wow.
Right?
On,
it's that I'm too proud to beg or ask for help, right? Isn't that what Proud Mary said? You're too proud to beg?
She kind of did her head that way.
So pride is that sneaky one, and you could have that door closed where you can't seem to get through and get your prayers answered or make a connection. So that's one of those things you have to check your heart for. So God, is there places in me that are pride where I'm too prideful to come down to the altar, or I'm too proud to ask for help, or I'm too proud to admit some things? That's the pride that's dangerous for us. Because arrogance and boastfulness, we can see easy.
Right.
But if you're quiet and you're meek and then you're too proud to ask for help, that's where we get stuck. But we can even, that's our prayer. God, help me and identify those areas that are sneaky little secret prideful areas. And then give me strategy to be free.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to, even on a daily basis. I mean, I remember years ago when Larry Lee was walking us through, Can You Tarry With Me For An Hour? He wrote the incredible book and the prayer time and taught us to pray as a pattern, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, and we started with worship, but he got to the forgiveness part. And it became this process on a daily basis. I put this into practice.
Right.
God, I choose this morning when no one is even hearing what I'm saying. God, I choose today to forgive.
Yeah.
I may encounter someone that hurts me, but I choose now. I decide now that I will be a man of forgiveness because I want to always be able to approach you and not have resistance when I pray because I'm carrying an offense. And
right.
and so that's why it became a daily thing for me, and I prayed it. I still pray it. God, I choose to be a man of forgiveness. I forgive anything that happens to me today. I don't care if it's an argument with my wife. I don't care if somebody cuts me off in traffic. I don't know. Or if a pastor hurts my feelings. I choose to walk in forgiveness.
So good. Okay, so now we're going to go into talking about personal prayer. We talked about corporate prayer earlier. But we'll talk about developing in each of our lives a personal prayer lifestyle, the daily habit of prayer. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 6, we may have already referenced this, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, sometimes my prayer closet is my car all by myself while I'm driving. You know, I think sometimes we read this and we go, if I don't have you know, obviously we encourage you to develop and build in time into your day that you can get away and your complete focus is prayer. But sometimes those steal away moments and times are, you know, driving to work in the morning, or, you know, and all of the tools we have at our fingertips, worship music. I mean, the other day we had had a rough day a few days back, and we were preparing our house. We were having some people over for a worship night, the young adults, actually. So for a couple hours before, man, I began playing one of a worship song just over and over, and it filled the house, and it was communion with the Lord for me. And I mean, everything changed. The atmosphere in the house changed. My perspective changed, because that was my prayer closet time. I was cleaning up the house and getting the house ready, but I was there alone, and man, the presence of God filled the room, and I was changed after my time with Him. Do you want to speak into daily habit of prayer?
I was just thinking about the movie The War Room. Do you all remember that movie? And it made me think about that when I read the scripture, because this is kind of what the movie was based on, the going into your closet and praying, and her closet was her war room, right? So there was this one scene in The War Room where I think her name was Elizabeth, was the realtor who came over to her house, and she was kind of interviewing her, and she was asking her questions. So tell me about your husband, and tell me about your daughter, and how long have you been married, and tell me, do you know God, and tell me about your prayer life. And then Miss Clara, I think was her name, she said, do you like coffee? And she said, do you like it? How do you like it? And she was like, oh, I just like it black. So she goes into the kitchen, and she gets two cups of coffee, and she brings them, and she sets them down on the table. And her coffee is hot, and the realtor's coffee is warm. And so the realtor says, you know, we have busy lives, and so we love God, but life is busy. And so they sit down, and they drink their coffee, and she takes a sip. The realtor, her name was Elizabeth, takes a sip, and she's like, Miss Clara, you like room temperature coffee? Miss Clara says, no, my coffee's hot. And so that just stressed to me so much the importance of your daily prayer life in the closet. Yeah. Your daily habit of prayer has to be hot.
Wow,
you know, the effectual fervent prayer is about the regularity and the intensity of your prayer, and even the accuracy of your prayer. And so I just want to encourage you, like Miss Clara, that your daily coffee is hot and not just room temperature.
So good. Oh, that's so good.
Yes and amen.
Yes. Yes. So we develop a daily habit of prayer. Jesus prayed. That as we talk about developing our personal prayer life, Jesus prayed. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Jesus, the Son of God. You already said it. He was who sat at, you know, at the right hand of His Father. When He was on earth, prayed, Luke 5:15 and 16. Yet the news about Him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear Him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So if Jesus did it, I think we need to do it too.
Psalm 18:6, in my distress.
Yeah.
I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple, He heard my voice.
Yes.
My cry came before Him into His ears.
Yeah, so we were talking about the fact that God always hears us when we pray. I think a lot of us don't really have that revelation. And we may feel like, well, we're just talking to the sky. We're just talking to the air. But He really does hear you when He prays. When we pray, there are so many scriptures. David,
Psalm
just,
34, read that one.
Yeah, so Psalm 34, 17 says, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Yes. We had such a beautiful, couple weeks ago at Wednesday night worship and prayer, we had such a beautiful time of just worship and intercession and just prophetic worship and prayer. And I began singing, you know, I know you hear me when I pray. I know you hear me when I pray. I'm not just talking to the sky. I'm not just talking to the air. And the Lord, Carissa actually had such a powerful word, and she just released it in the atmosphere, a word from the Lord. God saying, I incline my ear to you. I bend low and listen. Ah. So you must know that God hears you. You know, you may have had, you may be in relationships or have parents. You may feel like you've never been heard in life. You know, all of us want to be validated and we just want to be heard. You can know that your Father always hears you. Always hears you when you come to him rightly.
Yeah.
So he hears us. Let's dive into, as we're kind of wrapping up, kind of getting to a close here, but I wanted you to share, Lisa, about the benefits of prayer.
One of the first things that I shared with Pastor Nicole, mm-hmm. it's a benefit of prayer, is that prayer is a coping skill for me. That's what I realized for myself, is that it's a coping skill. You know what a coping skill is? A coping skill is a response to stressors. And so how do we respond to something that's put in our way or put in our life that wasn't necessarily expected or anticipated or we're prepared for is we cope with it. And so if we have good coping skills, we do better. If we have poor coping skills, then we have more problems. And so we know what some poor coping skills are, right? Alcohol, drugs, just to name some extreme ones. Those are poor coping skills. Well, my good coping skill is I pray. So when I'm faced with a stressor on any given day, I want my first response to be prayer, even if it's just saying, Jesus. That is a good response in a coping skill.
Instead of cussing.
Well, I could say something other than Jesus.
Right. Some of us, it's like, let's be honest. Some of us have been there. We love Jesus, but we cuss a little.
That's not me.
Not me. I'm just, that's a t-shirt that's out. I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. That was that old lady that was on the Ellen show. She said, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little.
Yeah.
Well, so I just want to encourage you. So I'm not just trying to be irreverent. I'm trying to just bring a little laughter to the moment. But the truth is, we get upset. The pressure comes, and our mouth goes. And this coping skill I love is that how many times, though, in moments of pressure, after the argument's gone, then we're like, let's pray.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the peace of God comes.
Yeah. Well, yes. And I want to say, you know, there are things that we face in life that the only way we are going to get through as an overcomer is if we get in the face of Jesus every day. Every day. You cannot get through these trials by yourself.
Yeah.
You cannot. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, God sent angels to strengthen him as he prayed. And when he left that garden, man, he was ready for the task ahead. There are things that we face that we will be destroyed if we do not call on the Lord to carry us through and spend time with him. I want to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you.
1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him for he cares for you.
Yes.
Oh, so good. If you can get that, if you can figure that out in life, man, you will overcome every time. Every time that your coping skill, your response to stress is to get in the face of Jesus and to have time with him.
So the challenge is this. Last week when we were talking about the principle the pillar of principle and how important the word of God is, and the word that we had received, the prophetic word the week before, dust off my word,
yeah.
Dust off the promises, dust mm-hmm. off the healing, dust. And then we had so many testimonies from people that went home and pulled their Bible out and there was dust on it.
Yeah.
It's like conviction, not condemnation.
Yeah.
There was
yeah.
no condemnation, but there was a genuine, authentic response from the people in this house that said, I am moved by this conversation today. I'm going to get my Bible out. I'm going to renew my pursuit of His Word. Today, the challenge is, let's renew our journey of prayer.
Yeah.
Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. I wanted to say the scripture at the end because this is, I wanted to have a little something to lean in towards Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus yeah. concerning you. Some yeah. of you are like, what is God's will for my life? What is, I don't know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know, this is the will of God for you. Yeah. In everything, give thanks. Yeah. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the night Jesus was betrayed, he modeled what it means to give thanks even in the darkest hour. On the night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks. He was communicating to his Father. You already mentioned earlier, yeah. God, if it's possible that I don't have to drink this cup, but if it's your will, he's demonstrating prayer.
Yeah.
And he gave thanks. He showed us what it's like when we face our darkest day
yeah.
to still be a people that know how to give thanks. This is the will of God. You can learn how to hear his voice, but until you do, you can find his will in his word right here.
Yeah.
In this passage, this is the will of God
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
In everything, give thanks.
Yeah.
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah. So as we close, I want to read this, and then I think is John coming up to
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Pastor John's going to come up to close. Have you enjoyed this today?
This is who we are. I think Lisa said, why did you choose to talk about the pillars? And we started contemplating when we had our one-year anniversary, let's revisit why we started this and our rolling out our plan. I think it's important to say again and again, this is who we are, this is what we believe,
yeah.
and this is why we believe.
Yeah.
And so we are people of prayer, we're people of his presence.
Yeah.
So I want you to.
Yeah, so there are some of us that are still holding on and still reading through the Bible in 1 year. I don't know if I, but there's a few of us. So the beginning of 2019, we started the Bible in 1 year plan on the YouVersion Bible app.
Today is day number 328.
Yes, yeah. And we're going to do it again in 2020, so y'all can hop on the train, okay, in 2020. But this was so powerful. On day 290 in our Bible in 1 year, the devotional section of this, I love the devotionals written by Nikki Gumbel. Anyway, they're so powerful. But I want to read this because this is so beautiful. Okay, Lancelot Andrews, who lived from 1555 to 1626, was one of the great theologians and preachers of his day. After he died, his private notebook on prayer was discovered and published. In it, he had written two lists. First, he wrote a list of times of prayer in the Bible. Okay, y'all ready to hear the list of times of prayer? Always, without ceasing, at all times, three times a day, evening and morning and at noon, seven times a day, in the morning, a great while before day, at daybreak, the third hour of the day, about the sixth hour, the hour of prayer, the ninth, the evening, by night, at midnight. Next.
Ah, I love that.
Next, he wrote a list of places of prayer in the Bible. In the assembly and in the congregation, your closet, an upper room, a housetop, the temple, on the shore, a garden, on their beds, a desert place, in every place. There is no limit to the times, places, and different ways in which we can pray. Amen?
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.